Hello.
Hello.
It's the Happy Station Show, calling listeners everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's your station of smiles across the miles, spreading happiness all can share. Whether your transmission is HM or B, you're welcome to the world's largest happy family. So hello everyone, hello everywhere, from Alaska to Mexico.
Mexico.
Come and join in the swing. Station Family Show. Smiles across the miles, spreading happiness all can share. Whether your transmission is HM or B, you're welcome to the world's largest happy family. So hello everyone, hello everywhere, from Alaska to Mexico.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. I'm Keith Perron. And this week, after all the tribute programs that we ran for the past few weeks, we're now sort of back to our normal fare. And it is, of course, the month of July. So we do have some special summer programming coming up for July and August. What is that programming? Well, this week we start part one of a four-part series called Tales of Dutch Formosa, a docudrama that we ran last year at this time. So we bring you today part one. And then in August, we also have some other very interesting shows coming up. And I am not going to tell you about it this week because we're still working out the details on that. But it's going to be another one of our on-the-road shows. Another one of our on-the-road shows. And a little bit different from what we have done before. Okay? All right. Let's begin with our first piece of music today. And then I'll tell you a bit of some of the other special PCJ programs coming up this month. But we're going to listen to Dean Martin with a song that was originally done by the Four Lads, Standing on the Corner.
Standing on a corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on a corner, watching all the girls go by. Brother, you don't know a nicer occupation. Matter of fact, neither do I. Then standing on a corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by. I'm the cat that got the cream. Haven't got a girl, but I can dream. haven't got a girl, but I can wish. So I take me down to Main Street, and that's where I select my imaginary dear. Standing on a corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on the corner, giving all the girls the eye. Brother, if you got a rich imagination, give it a whirl, give it a try. Try standing on a corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by. Brother, you can't go to jail for what you're thinking, or for the woo look in your eye. Standing on a corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by.
Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by, Dean Martin. And I'm sure that if you did that today, stand on the corner and watch the girls go by, at some point you'd probably get your face slapped. Yes, times have changed. You can't admire people anymore for looking nice, because today it's considered wrong, I suppose. But anyway, that was a nice way to begin today's program. Now, this month, later at the end of the month, I should be more specific, we do have some special programming coming up, because for 2 weeks, some of our programs are taking a vacation. The weekly edition of Focus Asia Pacific will have some special documentaries. The daily programs that go out for the show will continue as normal, except for the weekly one. For Media Network Plus, we have a couple of encore presentations coming up. And for this program as well, a bit of traveling shows as that we listened to before, and some new ones coming up in the month of August. So stay tuned for that. You can find the details at our website when we make them available at www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. We also have a test transmission coming up in a couple of weeks, which will be targeting to East Asia between, I believe, 10 and 12 hours UTC. It's going to be 2 hours long. We're still waiting to find out the frequency for that. And when we get that frequency, I will pass it along to you. In a moment, we have part one of our docudrama series coming up, but it's summertime, so I think now we should have a little bit of the Beach Boys and Good Vibrations.
I love the colorful clothes she wears, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Good vibrations.
She's giving me the excitations.
Good vibrations.
Somehow closer now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind. When I look in her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom world.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitation. vibrations are happening with her. Gotta keep those love good vibrations are happening with her. Gotta keep those love good vibrations.
Vibrations, the Beach Boys, here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Yes, we are in summertime, and like every year at this time of the year, it is extremely hot. My air conditioning at home is literally on 24/7. Now, as of the recording of this show, we actually had, we kind of have three typhoons that are in the region. Yes, three at one time. Which is, well, that's a little bit unusual because, like, perhaps maybe we get two, but three. And they are called Chanhon, Linfa, and Nangka. And the way it is right now, there are also three different sizes. So the small one went across to the Philippines, was coming up towards Taiwan, and then did a detour towards China. The second one, Lingfa, which is expected to arrive this weekend at some point. It may be by the time you're listening to the show, it'll be passing north of Taipei. And then we have another one that is coming towards Taiwan, but it could switch northward towards Japan. Now, before you start sending messages in like, oh, I hope everything is okay, I should tell you how in Taiwan people sort of react to typhoons. People here see it as a day to go shopping or go to the movies. Now, I've been in Taiwan for many years. And, you know, like I said before, Taiwan is one of the safest places to be for earthquakes and even typhoons. A very small loss of life, if any at all. It's the day you take it easy. And if you're working, you stay home, except for some of us, we still have to come in and do our jobs. But banks, for example, are closed. But the large department stores, when I mean large department stores, the big, humongous department stores like Mega City, which is one not far from here, or Sogo, which there's a number of locations, or Far Eastern, they stay open. And they have special typhoon sale days, which is a lot of fun. And, of course, a great time to go see a movie as well. Anyway, so hopefully, yes, by the time you're hearing it, we're stuck in a big wind and a lot of rain. And people can say that I'm full of hot air. I admit it, you know. But anyway, that is neither here nor there. Anyway, it's now time to bring you part one of our docudrama series, Tales of Dutch Formosa.
Tales of Dutch Formosa.
The glory of the 17th century United Provinces of the Netherlands was made possible by grand ships, fitted out by merchants and missionaries, the former in search of profit, the latter souls. Men, women, and children spurred on by faith and dreams, risked the long, dangerous voyage to the Orient. For the Dutch East Indies Company, or VOC, the ports of Java, China, Japan, and Formosa held tempting treasures worth dying for. Exotic spices, teas, silks, porcelains, Japanese silver, and Formosan sugar. Trade routes brought the Hollanders wealth unequaled in the world. For Dutch Reformed missionaries, they brought them nearer to the Great Commission to preach the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. On January 20th, 1625, a very important transaction took place on the southwestern coast of Formosa. The Dutch representative of the VOC bought a strip of land from the Western Plains Aborigines for 15 pieces of cloth. The story of colonial trade and tragedy on Formosa during the next 38 years of Dutch rule holds secrets about this island, which exchanged everything. Names, languages, people, cultures, religion, and trade. Everything that is, except its heart.
In 1627, the VOC sends in fresh recruits to resolve growing conflicts with Japan, resulting from the VOC's 10% export tax. Governor Peter Nutz, a 27-year-old law school graduate, and George Candidius, a 29-year-old minister of the Dutch Reformed Church, arrive in Taiyuan Bay, determined to accomplish their appointed missions. Governor Nutz is accompanied by his young son, Lawrence. Mrs. Nutz will join her husband in a few months. Reverend Candidius brings with him a young serving boy named Francisco. Since the new governor must depart immediately for an audience with the Japanese emperor at Edo, he admonishes Reverend Candidius to reside in the castle and preach the Sunday sermons to the soldiers while he is absent. But Reverend Candidius feels called to a different mission.
We've waited long enough for the ex-governor to meet us. Obviously, he's too much of a weakling to face his successor.
There's something I want to settle before we set foot in Formosa, Peter. The company promised me a house in the village nearest Castle Sealandia. I believe it's called Sinkan and has a population of 400 able-bodied men. It's just the right size for a beginning. But two company officers told me you assigned them the house in Sinkan. Is that true?
I'm afraid so. Do you remember what you pledged while we were students in Leiden? Once we are in Formosa, I will follow the advice of the Honorable Governor on matters of company policy.
How could I forget? My every thought was about coming to Formosa. Those university days gave me a zeal for God's work.
I couldn't tell you before, George. The Governor General in Batavia confided in me that the Japanese silver trade has nearly stopped because of some troublemakers in that particular village. It seems this former Governor Gerard de With neglected his duties, and his absence today confirms his guilt in the matter.
He was governor for less than a year.
That's why the Governor General appointed me not only Governor of Formosa, but also Ambassador to Japan. I intend to restore respect for the company in Formosa in Japan. Those company employees are obeying my orders. You ought to do the same and accept your lodgings provided at the castle.
The church society in Amsterdam will be very disappointed, Peter. They hoped that I would preach the gospel in Formosa as I did amongst the Maori in Coromandel. For a year there, I baptized the poor heathens, and my reports encouraged more mission offerings among our Dutch Reformed congregations.
I don't doubt your qualifications, George. Be reasonable. You need company protection now that the villagers have been provoked against us. Your presence in the village could inflame them, and I can't count on the rabble in the castle to carry out their duties properly. I've heard reports many sailors disgrace the company and church by drinking and whoring in the villages. Most likely this kind of misconduct contributed to the problem in Sinkan. I admonish you to save our Dutch heathen at Castle Zealandia first, then I will decide more favorably about a house in Sinkan.
How can I convince you that I need time more than protection? I must learn the native language to gain their trust. I can't do that assigned to the castle.
We can't waste any more time aboard this vessel. You have my last word on the matter.
When are you leaving for Japan?
I will see that Lawrence is settled and then embark for Nagasaki, Japan immediately. A storm is brewing between the VOC and the Emperor of Japan, and I must divert it. When I return in 2 months, at least I hope to find everything in order at Zealandia.
Before the governor's departure, one of the Sinkans named Dika and a Japanese ship captain, Hamada, disguise a group of young boys as Formosan ambassadors in Japan. If they meet the Emperor of Japan first and convince him to accept their tribute, then Governor Nutt's mission will be in vain. After waiting to see the emperor for several days, the governor discovers the Sinkan plot. He returns home determined to make an example of how he will deal with traitors. Disregarding Governor Nutt's advice, Reverend Candidius and his boy Francisco assemble a bamboo hut in the Sinkan village. In the evenings, Reverend Candidius teaches Francisco how to read.
Repeat after me, Francisco. The island of Formosa is full of deer.
The island of Formosa is full of deer.
Wild swine. Read it for yourself a while.
Wild swine, tigers. The Sinkens call them tinny.
Very good. Have you ever seen the animal called the Devil of Taoyuan?
Meanwhile, at Taoyuan Bay, Hamada's ship with the imposters has returned. The Sinkens are arrested at once. Their weapons and gifts from the emperor are confiscated by the VOC counselors. Dika escapes and stirs up the Sinkens against the Dutch, even Reverend Candidius. Late that night, the angry villagers set fire to Reverend Candidius' house while he and Francisco are sleeping.
Reverend, I smell smoke.
Someone set fire to the house. Hurry, kneel with me, Francisco. We must pray aloud.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Amen. Follow me.
Reverend Candidius and Francisco escape to the castle, where Candidius plans to ask the governor for a stone house to replace his ruined hut. Immediately upon his arrival, however, he receives an urgent message to report to Governor Nuts.
Peter, I came as soon as I could.
George, you nearly escaped with your life. Do you realize the calamity that is facing us as a consequence of your rash behavior? The reputation of the company and the honor of Prince William of Orange are at stake. If one of us fails in his duty or dies needlessly, the Japanese will waste no time in trying to oust the company again.
It was a minor incident. A simple hut burned, that's all. I don't believe the whole village is to blame.
Don't be so sure about that. While I was in Japan, I found out 50 Christians were crucified, and for no reason other than that they represented a foreign god, just like you do in Formosa.
Couldn't you make some allowances for Deka's ignorance, Peter?
Deka is guilty of high treason. When I arrived in Hirado, everyone was gossiping about those savage ambassadors, Deka and Sinkin boys masquerading as princes. No one believed them, especially not the Emperor of Japan.
Did you have an audience with the Emperor?
Regretfully, no. His petty officials intercepted our letters. 2 months wasted.
More than wasted. The trust the Sinkins had in me has vanished. Now no one comes to the school, not even the children, all because of rumors that you kept the returning Sinkins on board the Japanese ship without food or water.
I ordered them detained until Captain Hamana surrendered his weapons.
The VOC counselors said you smashed their gifts.
That's untrue. I confiscated their illegal goods along with some silver trifles, a necklace and crown.
The Sinkans just want the gifts. You know how much they love these presents.
As their Dutch father, I will give gifts to the Sinkans and they will bring profits to me. No foreign sovereign may bestow gifts upon the subjects of the governor who rules in the name of the Netherlands.
It's not like you to talk about profit, Peter. A man can't serve God and money.
Then why are we both here?
Several days later, standing in front of the huge VOC warehouse at Castle Zealandia, three young boys peer into its cavernous hull. The governor's son, Lawrence, and his two friends, Daniel, a cabin boy, and Francisco, are about to explore the riches of the Orient for themselves.
My father told me booty from Chinese pirate ships is stored in here.
Can we go inside? Would you like to, Francisco? We could get in trouble.
Be careful, boys. It's all right to look around, but come back when you hear the musket shot. That's the signal to lock up.
It looks like the same cargo I saw on the Dutch ship.
Not these. Deerskins.
Yeah, Sika deer.
I saw thousands in one herd. The Japanese used the leather to make armor for the samurai.
The who? Hey, look at these wooden bins of seeds.
They smell good.
All kinds of spices. Cloves, cinnamon, nutmeg, pepper. Here, smell this.
Not me.
Can you read this?
Yeah. China root. Oh, now I remember. The Chinese workers call it ginseng.
How did you know that?
From Reverend Candidius. He's training me to teach in the missionary school. And then I'm going to marry a girl from Sinkan, if she's baptized, that is.
What kind of school is that?
At the governor's house, just outside the walls of Castle Zealandia, Governor Nuts and Chief Interpreter Francois Caron discuss how to stall Captain Hamada.
If we keep his ship from leaving a few more days, my letter reporting the sinking rebellion will arrive at the VOC factory at Nagasaki first.
Let's see what will happen. He's coming.
Hamada and a Japanese soldier rush into the governor's room and draw their swords.
Taira the governor! Spariakero!
Yes, sir! Wakarimashita!
Karon! Sound the alarm!
Karon jumps through the open window so swiftly, Hamada and the soldier do not notice his escape.
Help! Murder!
At the warehouse, Lawrence and the boys hear musket fire and prepare to go back to the entrance.
The signal!
No, that's the soldiers at the fort! Let's go see what's happening!
But we could get in trouble!
Inside the governor's room, Hamada and the soldier tie the governor with a long rope, binding his arms tightly to his sides. VOC soldiers have been called to arms outside the castle, but they delay attack for fear of risking the governor's life.
Here's a taste of your own medicine. Toze no mukuita!
There's no need for violence, Hamada. We're friends.
Release my ship now! Sukuni!
Patience! I give you my word, your ship, even all your weapons, will be returned.
You lie, uso da.
Running ahead of Daniel and Francisco, Lawrence meets Caron and a corporal in front of the governor's house. Caron stops him from entering.
Lorenz, you can't go in there.
Let me go.
Lawrence breaks away and runs to the front door.
Father, let me in.
Seizing the opportunity to take another hostage, Hamada opens the door and pulls Lawrence into the room. The soldier pushes him to the floor.
Little that dog, oi omae!
Hey, you can't call me that!
Lawrence, stay quiet!
During the attack in the governor's chambers, Dika and several Sinkins break into the kitchen and brutally murder the servant and cook. Back in the governor's room, Hamada pulls Lawrence up from the floor.
You, oi omae! Go to the window and tell the soldiers to stop firing, or I will kill your father.
Don't shoot! Please, don't shoot!
Is this the way an official of the Imperial Court represents the Emperor?
Imperial official no more. The Emperor banished me.
Those Sinkins have caused both of us trouble. I can help you regain the Emperor's favor.
Tell me. Idemiro!
Hamada signs an agreement to exchange 5 hostages from each side. The Dutch hostages sail in Hamada's ship, and the Japanese hostages in a Dutch vessel. Upon safe arrival in Nagasaki, both sides will free their prisoners. Nuts explains the procedure to Chief Merchant Meisert, one of the 5 Dutch hostages.
We must comply with Hamada's demands for the time being. The important thing is to guarantee our safe passage to Nagasaki. I'll be with you as one of the hostages.
If you leave Zealandia, don't expect the counselors to obey your orders.
This is a difficult decision, Meisert.
You know the Japanese tradition of exchanging sons? It could work.
Governor Nuts proposes to Hamada that they each send a son as one of the hostages. Hamada accepts his offer as predicted. Nuts gives final instructions to Meisert and entrusts him with the life of his son.
The letter we sent to Nagasaki will arrive before you, with instructions to seize Hamada's ship and the goods he extorted from us. Sell the Dutch vessel. The price will cover the amount of the ransom.
It's the only choice. Our ship wouldn't be seaworthy after this voyage.
Meisert, take care of Lawrence. I expect you to return safely. You must.
You have my word. I know the Japanese all too well.
Remember, you're the son of a governor, Lawrence.
I will, Father.
The weather clears and the two ships sail from Taoyuan Bay. In his office at Castle Zealandia, Governor Nuts explains to Caron why he sent the hostages.
But, Governor, your own flesh and blood?
There's nothing to fear. Moderation and reason will succeed, Caron. Lawrence will be back in 2 months.
I pray to God that you're right.
Now, here's my proposal to increase company profits by remaining on friendly terms with the Japanese and allowing them to share in our trade.
So you won't levy any duties on Japanese ships?
This seems to me the best course to follow.
Ho in ha yeah.
Several months pass with no news of the hostages. Governor Nuts decides it's time to strengthen his authority and capture the Chinese pirate who is hiding out in the village of Matao. Mounted on a beautiful Persian horse, the governor heads a column of 70 seasoned soldiers. The Matao chief cunningly explains that the pirate has slipped away into the mountains and urges the soldiers to stay and enjoy their traditional hospitality. They feast until midday on venison and wild game, which the villagers have cooked in the Dutch style. At last, Nuts orders the company to fall in, but the soldiers have drunk such considerable amounts of arrak, they ask for permission to stay until evening.
Governor, sir, you know the heat on the path is stifling this time of day. With these uniforms and heavy ordnance to carry, I'm afraid some soldiers could drop from exhaustion. Let us wait until sunset.
Very well.
I'll make sure the men report in good order before the gates are locked.
See that you do.
When the soldiers are ready to depart, the chiefs escort them to the Matao River and offer to carry their weapons while they cross. Unaware that Matao warriors are waiting in the tall grass to ambush them, the soldiers give over their muskets and wade into the waters. The Matao River Massacre lowers the Sinkins' opinion of the Dutch. The Sinkins taunt Reverend Candidius with demands to prove himself by performing miracles or divinations, as they claim their priestesses do. After several months of postponements, Nuts pays a visit to the village and brings cloth and gifts of food, which he distributes in Reverend Candidius's name.
Well done, Peter. Whether in Leiden or Sinkan, your keen law school eloquence makes quite an impression.
Easily won favor among these simple people. But I wonder, will it last?
Give them time. When I couldn't predict the weather, they concluded the Christian God is weak. But after some gentle persuasion, they agreed to be patient until harvest. Then they can judge whether the families who attend church and school fare better than the others or not.
Patience is the best remedy for every trouble.
My apologies. I have been so preoccupied with my own problems, I didn't ask about Lawrence and the other hostages.
No word from them. Nevertheless, I've done what you asked, George. I even brought back the silver bribes the Emperor of Japan gave to our mutineers. You can't accuse me of obstructing your work.
When did I ever...
Now, you must do this for me. Move back to the castle for your own good. You've admitted that you're not making much progress with the Sinkins.
Abandon my work? The seeds of faith are small, but they'll grow, and your speech won their respect for me again.
You agreed to follow my advice before.
I'm planning to marry a baptized Sinkan woman. I'm certain the example of a Christian marriage will gain the people's love even more.
It's time to put your own people first, George. Isn't it important to preach the Christmas sermon to them? Remember how long ago we took communion in Leiden?
Very well, Peter, but only until January. I was wondering about what you said in your speech. Here are prizes for a Sinkan princess.
I don't recall saying that. It's getting late. We began together, and together we'll achieve our just ends. Nunc adi vide, lege re lege et tandem quod justum est judica. I'll meet you at the soldiers' barracks in the morning. Good night.
Take this lamp with you, Peter.
Nuts walks towards the soldiers' quarters with his head down, lost in ideas for new trade goods. He stops in a grove of bamboo at the edge of the village and takes a breath of the night air.
Camphor. Who's there?
Holding up the lamp, Nuts sees a Sinkan maiden wearing only the silver necklace. It shines on her bare breast.
See? You gave me the princess gift. I wear silver necklace. Make me beautiful.
Where did you come from?
My house. Come, I show you. Dari Ruma, Marisini, Ikutsaya.
Wait! Which direction? What is your name?
My name is Poelohi. Namasaya Poelohi.
What a soft voice.
Namase poeloi, Bang.
Ah, here I am standing in the middle, and I don't know to whom I should turn.
Here I am, you marry me. Akuchinda padamu, marikita kawi.
Following her husband's instructions, Cornelia Nuts disposes of their household goods in Delft and books passage on the VOC vessel Amsterdam, bound for Batavia. Weathering storms, fever, and near shipwreck rounding the Cape of Good Hope, Cornelia reaches the port in Java where Peter told her to wait for him. He will soon join her for a holiday, and then together they will take a yacht to Formosa. Unexpectedly, Sarah Specs, the daughter of the Governor-General in Batavia, comes aboard the Amsterdam in Batavia Harbor looking for Mrs. Nuts.
Mrs. Nuts?
Yes?
I'm Sarah Specs, the Governor-General's daughter. I'll help you take the harbor boat. The luggage will be brought to you later.
Oh, how kind of you. I'm rather exhausted.
You don't have to tell me about the voyage, I know. The thought of that misery is the only thing that keeps me from leaving.
Do you happen to know if my husband, Governor Peter Nuts, is here?
Oh, yes. I thought you knew.
Knew what?
I came to meet you because your husband was summoned to court.
What happened?
Well, I don't know exactly, but there's plenty of gossip. I thought you and the governor would go back home after all the trouble in Formosa. Please take me with you, Mrs. Nuts. I hate this place.
If you'll pardon me, Miss Specs, I'd like to leave immediately.
Oh! Are you all right?
Please help me.
A month earlier, outgoing Governor-General Kuhn received reports from Formosa accusing Governor Nuts of failing to perform his duties. Accusations against Nuts' decision to send hostages to Japan, his absence at the time of the massacre, and his misconduct in Sincan convinced Kuhn to recall Peter Nuts and appoint Hans Puttmans in his place. Kuhn hands over the case to incoming Governor-General Specs before leaving office. François Caron escorts Nuts back to Batavia in the custody of a soldier. In the VOC court at Batavia, Caron advises Nuts about the trial.
Your trial will resume in a few weeks, after the investigation is completed. Until then, the judge agrees you may stay here at headquarters, under house arrest, rather than go to Bulwark Prison.
The charges against me are false.
There are sworn statements from two soldiers that you married a Sincan woman and she became pregnant with your child.
Cowardly lies spread by Puttmans.
In the end, Specs will extradite you to Japan. It's his way of thanking the Emperor of Japan for exempting VOC ships from the Japanese embargo against foreign trade.
He should have consulted me first, but I'll thank the Governor General for sending me to Lorenz.
Your wife arrived, Peter.
Cornelia is here? Did you see her?
Yes. She's asking about your son.
The embargo prevented any news from reaching Formosa. I haven't been able to get any letter in or out of Japan.
I heard one of our VOC ships arrived today.
Would you see if there's some news about Lorenz for us?
Of course. If there's a letter, I'll have it sent to you right away.
Thank you. Where is Cornelia?
In the guest house. The voyage was very difficult.
I must spare her this troubling news.
Mr. Nuts, sir, what a relief to see you. Come in quickly. Oh, wait, sir, there's something I must tell you first.
Dear Anna, you haven't changed. It's just as though we were home in Delft.
If only we could return to the Netherlands.
Was the voyage difficult for Mrs. Nuts?
Every day on that ship was a torture. Pirates attacked and fever broke out.
Tell me what happened.
A family on board the ship died of the fever, and Mrs. Nuts couldn't sleep after that. I think she has dreams about Lorenz.
What kind of dreams?
She sees a little boy who looks like Lorenz, but his face is swollen, and please don't let on that I said anything to you.
Anna, is someone at the door?
Yes, my wife. I'm here.
Peter! Is it really you? Oh, if only you knew what I've suffered.
I know it's been a terrible ordeal for you. For both of us.
Peter, a strange woman upset me on the ship claiming to be the Governor General's daughter. She said she was Sarah Spex and talked about a trial.
Forgive me for not meeting you, Cornelia. Unexpected company matters delayed my departure. I was planning a happy reunion after such a long separation.
A whole year? I can't endure that again, Peter.
You won't have to. We're together now. You're safe.
Is it possible to be safe here? I feel so afraid.
You must rest.
Peter, I can't stop worrying until I see our son.
Cornelia, dear, Lawrence is waiting for you.
He is? Why didn't you tell me? Where?
The governor's mansion at Castle Zealandia. He'll welcome you to our new home.
Why couldn't Lawrence come with you?
You know for yourself what a voyage would be like for him.
Peter, a little child on the ship died of malaria.
You'll see him soon. Our family will be together again, just like we were in Delft.
What was that woman Sarah Spex talking about?
Stay away from her. She has a scandalous reputation.
I'm not surprised. She looks so unhappy.
Don't waste your sympathy on that woman.
A servant brought this letter to the door, ma'am.
A letter? Open it for us, Anna.
Wait! Let me do that for you, dear.
Anna is used to opening my letters, Peter.
There's an important-looking seal. Here you are, ma'am.
Thank you, Anna. It reminds me of your letters, Peter.
My letters?
Yes, I carried your letters from Delft with me and read one every night. I know them all by heart now.
We were apart too long.
This is addressed to the Honorable Peter Nuts.
Company business. I'll take it.
No, let me read it. The VOC headquarters in Nagasaki received a report from the foreigners' prison in Umura, Japan, that an epidemic of smallpox broke out among the prisoners in December last year.
Cornelia, let me see that letter.
Here, I can't bear any more sad news.
I regret your son Lawrence was one of the victims.
Victims? It was Lawrence in my dream. Peter, you lied to me. Oh.
Anna, come at once.
Is something wrong?
Find Governor Spex and ask him to send a doctor.
Is Mrs. Nuts all right?
Go, hurry.
Yes, sir.
Cornelia, listen to me.
You said I would see Lawrence in Formosa, but he was in prison in Japan.
I didn't know, Cornelia.
Lies. My Lawrence is dead. Lawrence.
Please believe me.
Mr. Nuts, the doctor is here.
Too late. Oh, God, what went wrong?
Madam.
I must go to Japan and set things right.
Governor Nuts was determined that his wife and son should not have died in vain. Despite everything, he remained convinced that he had acted correctly, and he begged the Governor General for permission to return to Japan. The Governor General was happy to agree, and postponing the trial, he sent Nuts to Hirado as a hostage. For the next 4 years, the VOC traded successfully with Japan, while Nuts was kept under house arrest in Hirado. He spent his time writing and trying to undo the damage caused by Hamada's treachery. He was never granted an audience with the Emperor. In 1636, Nuts returned to Batavia, where he was dishonorably discharged from the VOC and stripped of all his possessions. Back in the Netherlands, he embarked on a new career in the Dutch civil service, and with the help of some influential patrons, he was at last able to recover his confiscated wealth. He remarried, eventually became burgomaster of Hulst, and died in 1655. Governor Nutt's friend, the Reverend George Candidius, also left Formosa, but instead of returning to Holland as he intended, he was persuaded to stay in Batavia. We will hear more of Reverend Candidius in episode 2.
Thank you for joining us for In the Days of Governor Nuts, part one in the series Tales of Dutch Formosa. The part of Governor Peter Nuts was played by Paul Jackson. Reverend George Candidius was Norman Szabo. Francisco was Chris Ma. Lawrence Nuts was Sam Higany. Daniel was Jerry Sun. The warehouse chief was Don Gilliland. Francois Caron was Douglas Bishop. Captain Hamada was Wesley Coe. The Japanese soldier was Shigeki Ueno. Merchant Miser was Don Gilliland. The VOC soldier was Norman Szabo. Poelahi was Sharon Ung. Sarah Specks was Katie Hausen. Cornelia Nuts was Lori Solbakken. Anna was Sarah Andres. The diary voice was read by Andrew Ryan. The conclusion by Lynn Scott. In the Days of Governor Nuts was written and directed by Lynn Scott and produced and engineered by Andrew Ryan. The original flute and drum music was performed by series music consultant Alan Wu, with additional flute pieces by Carl Schu. The script consultant was Andrew Ryan.
Tales of Dutch Formosa, Part 1. And next week on the program, we will bring you Part 2. There's a name in there that some of you will probably know. And yes, that is Andrew Ryan from Radio Taiwan International. And speaking of Radio Taiwan International, we're going to be doing another one of our joint programs very, very soon. And we're sort of working on the details on that, and we will be adding some extra frequencies for that program. And you'll be able to receive two QSO cards, one from us and also one from RTI. All right, Petula Clark and Downtown.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights so much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place for sure. Downtown. Everything's waiting for you. Downtown. Don't hang around and let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close. Downtown, just listen to the rhythm of a gentle bossa nova. You'll be dancing with them too before the night is over. Happy again. The light's so much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown, where all the lights are bright. Downtown, waiting for you tonight. Downtown, you're gonna be alright now. Downtown, downtown. 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 And you may find somebody kind to help and understand you. Someone who is just like you and needs a gentle hand to guide them along. So maybe I'll see you there. We can't forget all our troubles, forget all our cares. So go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. Don't wait a minute more. Downtown. Everything's waiting for.
One and only Petula Clark and Downtown. If you wish to contact us to let us know what you think of the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. Once again, pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. I'm going to leave you now. Time for myself to go and have dinner. No, I already had dinner. Well, actually, it's kind of a late night snack, actually. Yes. Have you ever had one of those meals where you have dinner, and it was good, but it wasn't very much, and then you feel hungry 2 hours later? Yes, it was Chinese food before you make any jokes. No, it actually wasn't, believe it or not. But it just wasn't very much. So I'm going to run off and have dinner. So we're going to end with Andy Williams and Can't Get Used to Losing You. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Guess there's no use in hanging around. Guess I'll get dressed and do the town. I'll find some crowded avenue, though it will be empty without you. Can't get used to losing you, no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you. Call up some girl I used to know, after I heard her say hello. Couldn't think of anything to say. Since you're gone, it happens every day. Can't get used to losing you, no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you. Somebody, wait and see. Who am I kidding? Only me. 'Cause no one else could take your place. Guess that I am just a hopeless case. Can't get used to losing you, no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you. Can't get used to losing you, no matter what I try to do. Gonna live my whole life through loving you.
Jack in the old jukebox.